Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Bet by the last line. By Minei Rabbi Chir Bar Abba, queried of Rabbi Chir Bar Abba, Shachach Kedera Agav Yekira, someone who leaves a pot on the stovetop, Ubishla B'Shabbat, and then it ends up cooking on Shabbat, Mahu, what is the din with regards to this? Rashi here frames the question as Aliba Demand Asar, according to the one who thinks that it's problematic to leave it on the stovetop going into Shabbat. Remember that Rashi believes that with regards to Shihiya, we paskin like Hananya, which means that our Mishnah is talking about Chazara. Therefore, Shihiya does not require Gufa Uktuma. So Rashi says the Gemara's question over here is a libe demanda amar that our Mishnah was speaking about, l'shahot tan, speaking about shihiya, and therefore there is a problem of leaving something on the stovetop when it's not grufa and tuma. But that means that it's a low aliva de hilchata. According to Rashi, this has nothing to do with their halachic discourse because in the end we don't paskin like this view, and therefore the question is irrelevant according to Kananya and according to the view that Shihiya does not require grufa uktuma. On the other hand, the Baalei HaTosafot who agree with Rashi that the halacha is like Kananya, and they agree that our Mishnah is speaking about v'chazara tnan, and therefore Shihiya is allowed by grufa uktuma. They say that the question can be formulated in the following manner, which is, Af of Gav de Kaimelan Kechananya, Hachabai, over here the question is, Below Bashil Kemachal Ben Dusai. It's been made a case where it has yet to be cooked to the point of Kananya's requirement of Machal Ben Dusai, which means that it hasn't reached that minimum threshold, because even Kananya agrees if you don't make the minimum threshold of Machal Ben Dusai, then you can't leave it on the stovetop when it's not Grufa Uktuma. And so therefore the question is, in a situation where it's below that threshold, inami bayafilu bikdera chaito, or the other possibility going the Baalei HaTosafot is speaking about a case where you have raw meat that is left on the stovetop. Even though in the first parak we noted that if you have raw meat in the oven, then you don't have to worry about it because we're not afraid of shemei yichatevi gichalim. He's going to stoke the coals because the assumption is if it's raw, that he has no intent of using it tonight. He won't use it till tomorrow and he has plenty of time for it to cook. Therefore there's no incentive for him to stoke the coals to accelerate the cooking process. So Tosafot here makes a distinction which is not clear halachically, that that's a difference between a tanur and a stove top, which is a kira, which does not have the level of heat that a tanur has, does not have that dispensation. The dispensation of putting raw meat on the fire right before Shabbat and not worrying about it, that's only true by a tanur that carries heavy heat or has the ability to cook in an accelerated manner because of the heat that's trapped inside of it, as opposed to a kira, which doesn't have the chom, does not have the heat of a oven, as we'll see later in today's daf, and therefore it doesn't have this dispensation. The Ritva questions Tosafot's position over here and says, where did he come up with such a distinction? We don't find any such distinction within the Gemara, and therefore he doesn't believe that it's a appropriate way to frame the question over here. Nevertheless, he does frame the question in the other instance that it's less than Kemachal Ben Jusai. It's interesting that Rashi did not frame it that way. In addition, the Rashba over here says from our Gemara, you see that anything that is already cooked, Kemachal Ben Jusai, is already considered to be fully cooked, and therefore any cooking at that point in time would not be considered Bishul. There isn't Bishul Achar Bishul once you've crossed over the threshold of Machal Ben Jusai, and therefore that's why the Tosafot explained that it was less than Machal Ben Jusai and not more than Machal Ben Jusai, because once you cross over that threshold, there's no more longer a din of Bishul if you cook beyond that point. That's the view of the Rashba. Many of the Rishonim and Achronim disagree with that view of the Rashba and believe that even after Machal Ben Jusai, there is a din of Bishul, even though there may not be a problem of leaving it on a stove or it is not Gufa Uktuma, there still is a din of Bishul after Machal Ben Jusai. Even though the Rashba quotes Rashi as saying the same thing as the Baalei HaTosafot, nevertheless, why didn't Rashi explain the Gemara like Baalei HaTosafot? Bnei Yeshua over here indicates that Rashi did not formulate it like the Tosafot, because then this Gemara would belong in the first parak. Because according to Rashi and Tosafot, first parak deals with things that are less than Machal Ben Jusai and more than Machal Ben Jusai, whereas all of the Gemarot until now, according to Rashi and Tosafot, were speaking about cases that already were cooked Machal Ben Jusai. It's already crossed over that threshold of Kananya. If that's the case, then this is an oddball question, according to the way that Tosafot's explaining it, that here we have a case that's below that threshold of Kemachal Ben Jusai, and therefore Rashi opted to explain the Gemara, Lo Aliba de Hilchata, according to the one who says that Shihiya is problematic when you don't have Grufa and Ktumah, against the way that Rashi and the Bali HaTosafot paskin. Gemara says, Ishtik v'lo marle v'lo mide. He had no response to this. The machar nafak v'darash lehu. Next day he gets up and gives a drasha and brings a braita. Amin v'shel b'shabbat b'shogei. Someone who cooks on Shabbat unintentionally, yochal. He has the ability or is permitted to eat it. V'mezid lo yochal. On the other case, if it was done intentionally, lo yochal, he may not eat it. V'lo shna. And it makes no difference. Mar says, my veloshna. What does it mean, veloshna? Now, obviously, the case that the Braita is speaking about is not similar to our case. That's because it uses the active verb of a mevashel, someone who cooked on Shabbat. Truth is that this is a three-way machloket and other gemarot between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan HaSanbar. Over here, the Gemara quotes only the Shita of Rabbi Meir, which is interesting, even though we normally paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. It would seem to be that the Gemara believes that even Rabbi Yehuda in this instance will agree. And the difference being that that case where it's speaking about Mivashel b'Shabbat, that's speaking about active cooking on Shabbat. As opposed to our cases where he forgot it on the fire and then it ended up cooking on Shabbat, it's not a violation de oraita, but only a violation midrabbanan, because you weren't supposed to leave it that way. And it was unintentional or intentional, meaning that he put it on the fire and then he had assumed that he was going to take it off before Shabbat. Then right before Shabbat, he either forgets, and that's an unintentional leaving it, or if he remembers, he decides, I'm not going to take it off, and leaves it there. But in either case, did he actively cook the item on Shabbat? It was done passively. And that's what the Gemara wants to know. What is the loshna mean? Rabba Rav Yosef Darmei Tavayel the Hetera. The case that is quoted in the Braita is a case where you do it actively. But in our case where it's passive, then it's the Heter, meaning Vashahu Dekavid Maisib Mezi. There what he does in active cooking, there by Mezid Lo Yochal, he can't eat it. Vahai Dekavid Maisib. In our case, where he's not doing something actively, but Mezid Nami Yochal. Even if he does it intentionally, he can still eat it. We don't penalize him in this case. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Li Sura. Now that they are loshna means that it's asur here no matter what. Mevashel hu d'lo hatei lerume. By mevashel, a person who cooks intentionally on Shabbat doesn't do it in a backhanded or sneaky manner. Either is doing it or isn't doing it. If he does it b'shogeg, it was unintentional. Does it b'mezid, he really doesn't care about Shabbat. He's not trying to trick people into thinking that he's doing it unintentionally. As Rashi points out, d'lo nechshedu Yisrael ha-Shabbatot. That we don't have suspicion that people intentionally violate Shabbat. Therefore, it's not a consideration that they'd be doing this in an underhanded manner and say that they're doing it unintentionally when they're really doing it intentionally. So therefore, v'shogeg yochal, because it was unintentional, aval, hi, da'ati lerumeh, in our case, where a person can leave it passively going into Shabbat, there's no violation of cooking midoraita, it's only nisar dirabanan, they will do this in a underhanded manner and say that I unintentionally left it on the fire when they really intentionally did it, because it's all about machshava and intent over here, and there's no active violation. Therefore, v'shogeg nami lo yochal, they penalized him even by shogeg to say you can't eat it, because they were afraid of people doing this b'mezid, and then claiming it was done b'shogeg. Meitabe. So now we have a braita from the Tosefta that seems to undermine both positions with regards to what we do in the case of shachak deira gabi akira, because here it says shachak deira gabi akira, person forgets a pot on top of the stove, u'bishla b'shabbat, and ended up cooking through to Shabbat. B'shogeg yochal. If it was unintentional, you can eat it. B'mezid lo yochal. It was intentional, then he may not eat it. What is that speaking about? Bichamim shlo huchmu kol tzorchan. Speaking about water that was not heated fully. Bitavshil shlo bishel kol tzorcho. Or a food item that was not fully cooked. Aval. But in an instant, shechamim shuchmu kol tzorchan, where the water was heated fully or cooked fully, tavshil shi bishel kol tzorcho, or the food item was completely cooked, then ben bishogeg, ben bimizid yochal. In either in case, whether it's intentional or unintentional, you can eat it. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Chamin shuchmu kol tzorchan. Waters that are fully cooked or fully heated, mutarim, bibnesh mitztamek veralo. Because if you continue to cook it, if you continue to boil it, it's negative for the water because of the fact that it will boil off. It will evaporate. Tavshil should be shel kol tzorcho. An item where it's fully cooked, asur. There it's problematic, mipnesh mitztamek veopilo. Because as you continue to cook it, it shrivels up, but it is beneficial or an improvement in the item, and therefore it's considered to be a continuation of the cooking process. And b'chol mitztamek v'yofelo, anything where the continuation of the cooking or the persistence of cooking is good for it, to go and kruv, upulim, ubasar taruf, things like cabbage, beans, and basar taruf, as the Oroch explains over here, basuf taruf is pieces of meat, like in a meat stew. And that goes to what we saw in yesterday's daf with regards to basar being good when you continue to cook it, as long as it's not for orchim, as long as it's not for guests, because if it's for guests, you want whole pieces of meat. Over here, the meat continues to break down, and the fat is more and more liquefied and seeps in and flavors the dish. That's only good if you're doing it in a fashion where you don't mind that the meat is breaking apart into pieces or turning into a stew. In those cases, it's all mitztamek v'yofilo and asur. On the other hand, kol mitztamek v'radlo, if something that you continue to cook would be negative or detrimental to it, then it would be mutar. In this case, the Gemara says, k'tani miha, tapshil shlo bishel kol tzorcho. And over here we have an item that wasn't fully cooked, was left on the fire going into Shabbat. And yet we see that both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda distinguish between shogeg and mezid. They themselves argue about what items it applies to, but in both instances, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda distinguish between shogeg and mezid, which is a question on all the opinions that we saw before that said when it comes to the case of passive cooking, leaving it on the fire, there we do not distinguish between shogeg and mezid, whether it's the hetera or the isura, but we don't distinguish, and this bright seems to indicate otherwise. So, Mara says, Bishma la Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak lo kasha. According to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, who says that the shogeg and mezid were equated, and therefore they are both asurim, kan kodem gzera, the bright that we just quoted was prior to the gzera, kan leachar gzera, and here it is after the gzera, meaning prior to the institution of making the mezid and shogeg equal. So prior to the gzera, that's what the Tosefta was speaking about, where there was still distinction between shogeg and mezid. The statement that I'm making is following what Rabbi Chaim Abba says post the gzera, where they equated shogeg to mezid to prevent people from acting in such a manner. Ela Rabba v'Rav Yosef d'amrei l'hetera. According to Rabba and Rav Yosef, who both say that it is shavet l'hetera with regards to passive cooking, if it was before the gzera, kasha mezid, the mezid is problematic because the brayta is prior to the gzera. It called him gzera. If Rabbi Chaim Abba's position was before the gzera was instituted, then mezid is problematic for them because they equate mezid and shogeg to hetera, and yet the brayta says it is asur. Vilachar gzera. If Rabbi Chaim Abba's statement was made after the gzera, then kasha nami shogeg. Then shogeg is also problematic for them because, so not only mezid should be problematic, but also shogeg should be problematic. Kashot, that is a problem for their position. My gzerto, what exactly is this gzera? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav. Tchila yu omrim mevashel b'shabbat b'shogeg yochal. Someone who cooks unintentionally on Shabbat can eat it. B'mezid lo yochal. And if he does it intentionally, lo yochal, no, may not partake of it. And at first, they said that was the same din as someone who leaves it on the fire going into Shabbat. Once they reached a point where people were intentionally leaving on the fire, violating the din derabbanan to remove it and not to shia going into Shabbat, and they were doing it intentionally, anu, and they were saying we're doing it unintentionally, chazru b'kansu ala shokheach. They went back and then were kones. Which means that originally it was that by shogeg and mezid, the din was the same by passive as it was by active cooking on Shabbat. And then they changed it that post the gzeirat, that shogeg looks like mezid, and you are penalized in both cases, which obviously then would be a problem for this position of Rabba v'Rab Yosef, who say it is lehetera. If it's post the gzeirat, then both shogeg and mezid should be restricted. If it's prior to the gzeirat, then at least shogeg should be restricted and not mezid. If they have Rabbi Chaim Abba saying that it's a heter in both of those instances, we don't find any time period where that was true, because you have the brayta that's pre-gzeirat, and still it says that mezid is problematic. And then the post gzeirat with shogeg is also problematic. At least for Rabbi Nachum Bar Yitzchak, he can explain that Rabbi Chaim Abba, who says that it was shnehem li-isur, was post the gzeirat, and the statement of the brayta was pre the gzeirat. And that's how he can reconcile it, but the Rabbi Rav Yosef don't have that option. Now the Gemara also points out that Kasha the Rabbi Meir, Adi Rabbi Meir, Kasha the Rabbi Yehuda, Adi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir's position here and Rabbi Yehuda's position here is inconsistent with the brayta that we saw with regards to Shihiya. On yesterday's daf, whereby we said, Kashma, bet kirot amatimot, achat grufav k'tuma, v'achat she'ena grufav k'tuma, m'shahin agabi agrufav k'tuma, v'ein m'shahin m'shahin agrufav k'tuma, ma'hein m'shahin, bet shemai omim v'lo klom, bet el omim chamim avlo tapshil. Akar, if you already took it off, divri akol yachzir, you can't do any chazara, divri Rabbi Meir. So there's Rabbi Meir's opinion, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bet shemai omim chamim, אבל לא תפשיל, ביתל אומרים חמין ותפשיל. בשמי אומרים נוטלים, אבל לא מחזירים, ביתל אומרים אף מחזירים. Now you have a problem both for Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Meir before suggested that you're not permitted to do Shia, according to Beit Hillel, except with Chamim, but by Tavshil, you're not allowed to do any Shia. And over here, he's saying that you're allowed to leave both Chamim and Tavshil, as long as they were fully cooked before you went into Shabbat. So then, how do we reconcile that for Rabbi Meir? Why doesn't the Gemara answer that over there in the previous Braita, it was speaking about what is Enu Mevushal Kol Tzorcho. That's why he only permitted Chamim and not Tishul. Yet over here was Mevushal Kol Tzorchan, that's why he permits both of them. Tosafot here reiterates their opinion that when it says Tavshil and Chamin, it means both fully cooked or partially cooked. There's no differentiation in the Gemara between them. Therefore, Istam Braita or Mishnah, when it mentions those terminologies, means both whether it's fully cooked or partially cooked. Therefore, that distinction is not a fair distinction to make over here. And the truth is that the question of Rabbi Meir is even more extensive, because before Rabbi Meir said that he was only Matir Chamin in a Kira that was Gufa Ktuma. And over here, we're not talking about Gufa Ktuma necessarily, and yet he's still permitting Chamin. And then Tosafot also adds on the fact that, according to Rabbi Meir, before he was Matir Chamin Stam, without any definition as to what type of Chamin, it sounds like even Chamin that were not fully heated up. And over here, he's Matir Chamin only if it was Chuchmu Kol Tzorchan. So all of those create a distinction in Rabbi Meir's position. Where it says, the Rabbi Meir lo kasha lechatchila hadiyavad. Question is, how it came about. If it was a chatchila, meaning that the first Mishnah is, if you come and ask us what to do in this case, and you're doing Shia, then we would only permit you to do it with Chamin and not with the Tavshil. Over here, it's speaking about Bidiyavad. If you left it on the fire, bishogeg, and it was a chamin or a tavshil, both of those will be permitted to be eaten in this case. So according to Rashi, the distinction or the problem with Rabbi Meir is before he allowed us to only put chamin on, yet in this bright over here, he allows chamin and tavshil. Why is there such a distinction? And so the difference is, l'chatchila versus bidiyavat. And then Tosafot also adds on the fact that, so you'll also have to answer for Rabbi Meir, not only the fact difference between l'chatchila and bidiyavat, but also the difference between gufak tuma and enein gufak tuma. And we have a steer in Rabbi Yehuda's position, who says that, over there, both the tavshil and chamin are allowed to put on the fire. And here, he says that if you have a tavshil, that is Bishel Kol Tzorchot, it is a problem. Kashu the Rabbi Yehuda, Ad Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi claims that the previous Braita, Rabbi Yehuda, said that you're allowed to leave over Chamin and Tavshil. And over here, he only allowed Chamin and not Tavshil. Or the question could be enhanced even further, which is that before, he only allowed Chamin and Tavshil when it was Grufa. Whereas over here, it's Enu Grufa, which would make it sound like whether it was Chamin or Tavshil, it would be problematic. Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda Nami Lo Kasha, it says, Kan Bi Grufa Bi Ktuma, Kan Bish Enu Grufa Ktuma, depends on what type of stove you're speaking about. So over there, in the Braita, Rabbi Yehuda said that both Tavshil and Chamin were allowed to be left on the fire. That's because over there, the case was a Grufa Ktuma, as it says in the Braita. It was cleared out, or ashes were put on the coals, and there's no problem with Shem Yechateta Gechalim. And therefore, you can have both Chamin and Tavshil on the fire going into Shabbat if it was Bishel Kol Tzorcho. Khan, in our instance over here, where he only permits Chamin and not Tavshil, should be Bishel Kol Tzorcho, this is the case when it's in a Grufa Ktuma, it did not have the ashes put on or the coals swept away. And therefore, it's problematic for him to have a Tavshil, at least the Chatchila, on the fire going into Shabbat. Now the Gemara continues and asks, Ivailu Avar Vishaha Mai. If the person violated this restriction of Shihya and did it anyway, what's the din? Mikansu Rabbanan Olo, whether the Rabbanan penalize him or not. The question seems completely superfluous because it seems to me that's exactly what we just dealt with in the previous sugya. Rashi adds in the word Bimezid. He says that the question here is if you do it intentionally, what is the din? Even with Rashi saying adding in the word Mezid, it's still difficult. Because he claims that before Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba's question was a case of Shogeg, but nevertheless it did address the issue of Mezid as well. And therefore the Marsho over here claims that the Mezid that we're speaking about here is a different Mezid. It's a Mezid of Omer Mutar versus a Mezid of intentionally leaving there knowing that you're violating the Din Chachamim. The case where the person says, oh, I didn't know that it was Asur, and he does it with Omer Mutar, then we penalize someone by Omer Mutar, like we did when we penalized them for Shogeg and for Mezid. And so that's how he explains Rashi's explanation of Mezid over here. It doesn't exactly fit into the word Mezid, because generally Omer Mutar is associated with Shogeg, or sits somewhere between Shogeg and Mezid. Nevertheless, he differentiates it and says that maybe there it's not Harama. But Shogeg, we could worry about Harama because the people know what they're doing. But Omer Mutar, he doesn't know that it's a sur at all. Maybe over there they didn't penalize him biz Shogeg. That's the way the Marsha explains Rashi. Tosafot says, that this question is in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, where it was fully cooked and it was shogay, even though the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Again, both Rashi and Tosfos think the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda because they think that it's like Hananya, that you don't need grufa and tuma once you cross over machal ben drusai. Yet Rabbi Yehuda does require it even when it's bushal kol tzorcho, if it's mitstamek v'yofelo, and if it is not mitstamek v'yofelo up till bishul kol tzorcho, it's still a problem. Now the question is, did Rabbi Yehuda only say that by mezid, or did he also apply it to shogeg? Although Tosfot admits that that formulation of the question isn't great because of the language that's used in the Gemara here in the question, which is avar v'shaha, which makes it sound like it was done intentionally and not unintentionally. It's not that avar v'nishtaheh, which would be a passive violation v'shogeg. Rather, it seems to be that there's an active violation over here. Nevertheless, the Bali Tosfot say the question or the safek here is within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. And even though the Gemara asks from that braita before on Rabbi Chiya Baba, making it sound like Rabbi Yehuda does not differentiate between Shogeg and Mezid, nevertheless, the Gemara now is clarifying that point and saying whether maybe that's not true. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda does distinguish between Shogeg and Mezid. And the other Rishonim, like the Ramban, the Rashba, have a takeoff on the Tosfot to say the question on Rabbi Yehuda. But it's only in a case where it's Mevushal Kol Tzorcho and Mitztamek V'yofelo. Was Rabbi Yehuda's knas by Shogeg only applicable when it was enu mevushal kol tzorcho? That's when it was problematic. But if it was mevushal kol tzorcho, it was not kone shogeg out to mezid, even though he believes mitstamek v'yafalo is asur. Or do we say that it has the same din as enu mevushal kol tzorcho, because mevushal kol tzorcho and mitstamek v'yafalo are both asurim? And that's the nature of the Gemara's question over here. And now the Gemara addresses that. Tashma, damar shmo bar natan, amar rabbi chanina, kishalach rabbi yosi litzipori, matza chamin shnishtahu agabi akira. He found chamin that were left on the kira, below a sarlan, and he didn't say it was problematic. Beitzim mitzumakot, he found eggs that were cooking away, shnishtahu agabi akira, that were left again on the stovetop, v'asarlan, and there he said it was problematic. So you have chamin that he said were not problematic, and he has beitzim mitzumakot that are problematic. The distinction between them clearly would be that water, as we said before, is mitstamek viralo, and eggs are mitstamek viyofilo. So according to those Rishonim that say that's the question here, that's what it's addressing. It's addressing a case of b'mushal kol tzorcho mitstamek viyofilo. According to the Bali Tosfot, it's addressing an issue of shogeg in Rabbi Yehuda, and we're clearly speaking the position of Rabbi Yehuda, because there's a distinction where it believes here mitstamek viyofilo is problematic, like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. And within the position of Rabbi Yehuda, now we're getting a sense of what's happening. And according to Rashi, it seems like that this was a case of mezid, and the halacha will be applicable even though it was a case of a zid. And my lav, loto shabbat. Sounds like he told them that you can't eat this anymore because of what you did, and therefore it would be a penalty on those people that, according to the Ramban and the Rashba, put something on Mavushal Kol Tzorcho, but it was Mitzdamek V'yofalo. According to Bai Tosafot, someone Bishogeg put it on, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though it was not Mavushal Kol Tzorcho, and he was still penalized for it. According to Rashi, since it was done intentionally, or according to the Marsha, since it was Omer Mutar, and yet over here, he was penalizing them on that Shabbat. Rashi says, no, didn't mean that he penalized on that Shabbat, the Shabbat Abba. He told them not to do it the next Shabbat. So he didn't penalize them on that Shabbat, but he told them it was improper for the next Shabbat. So now maybe there is no penalty, so you can't conclude anything. But what you can't conclude from this is the Beitzim Mitzumakot, Mitztamakot, V'yafelahen, Ninu. It's clear that the eggs, then they continue to cook, are better and better, meaning that the longer you cook them, the better they get. In, that is true. Damar Abchamar Bachanina, Pamachat Nitarachti Ani V'Rabi L'Makom Echad. I and Rabbi visited some location, Ve'Evu L'Fanenu Bitzim Mitzumakot, it was on a weekday. They brought before us these eggs that had been cooked and cooked and cooked, Pe'oz Radin, until the point that they had reached these types of fruit grow on these thorny types of bushes. They're known as a hawthorn, and the fruits on them are known as haws. They look a little bit like a rimon, like a pomegranate, but they come in colors like yellow and red, and they have an apple-like taste to them, but they have the crown on top like that of a rimon. So they were very small items, and the eggs were cooked to the point that they were small. Clean kama mehen arbe, and we ate tons of them. They were so tasty. So you see that beitzim are mitstamek v'yofilo, even though the Gemara here is unable to come to any conclusion with regards to the question that it posed, because it's not clear whether Rabbi Yossi, when he went to Tzipori, was oser on that Shabbat, or he only told him in the future not to do that. Now, we go back to the Mishnah where it says, Beit Hillel Omrim af machzirim, that you can also return it. Now, we saw in the Mishnah on this machloket, and you're going to see it again here as to what that means. Amar Rav Sheshet, the Divrei Omer machzirim, person who says you can return it means afilu b'Shabbat, even on Shabbat. The way Rashi explains is that afilu b'Shabbat b'yom macharat, on the next day. I mean, that the Gemara's assumption is that if you can return it, it's not only on the Friday night you can return it to the fire, but even on Shabbat day you can return it to the fire. Rashi thinks that Chazara is all about on Shabbat itself, and therefore the Gemara here is qualifying and saying that when you can return it, it's not only on Friday night, it's also on Shabbat day itself. Tosavot the Shita though back in the Mishnah says that the Chazara over here means Afilu b'Shabbat, means that there is Chazara on Chol. Before Shabbat starts, there's also the din of Chazara, and the Balei Tosavot defined that in the Mishnah as being a time period within which you are so close to Shabbat that if you started with a cold, it would have just the sufficient time to heat it up, that at that point in time it's already called Chazara. Before Shabbat, it's no longer called Shia. And that's what the Gemara is saying here. Afilu b'Shabbat means not only can you put it back on b'chol, before Shabbat, in that small window before Shabbat, but you can also put it back on Shabbat itself. Rabbi Boshaya Sabar, Af Machzirin, Afilu b'Shabbat. And Rabbi Boshaya thinks the same thing. Dam Rabbi Boshaya, Pamachat Ayino Omdim Le'ela Mi Rabbi Chia Rabbo. We were standing, or we were living with Rabbi Chir Baba, Ve'elano lo kumkum shel chamim, idiyuta tachtono, idiyuta elyona. We brought him an urn full of water, a kettle full of water, from the lower part of the house to the upper part of the house, mazagnu lo et hakos, and we poured for him a cup of hot water, ve'chziruno limkomo, and then we returned to it to its former place, below minor dabar, and he didn't say anything. So you see here, even on Shabbat itself, we allow for chazara to take place. Amar Rab Zika, Amar Rab Yava, Amar Rab Tadai, Lo Shenu Ala Shol Dan Biyado. You only can do Chazara if it's still in your hand. Avonu Hanichan Al Gabi Akarka, if you put them down on the ground before you do the Chazara, then it is Asur, because placing them on the ground, as Rashi says over here, Batle Hatmana De Atmol. That undermines the Hatmana from yesterday, and then when you put it in, it's like a new Hatmana, which is not allowed on Shabbat. This is Rashi the Shitato, who thinks that the problem both of Shia and mostly Chazara is a problem of Atmana. Rashi the Shitato says that is here as well. For others, it's the problem of Mechsei Kemivashel, which is as long as you keep it in your hand, it's as if you never took it off the flame or you're intending to put it back, so it's not Mechsei Kemivashel. If you put it down already, it's like a new placement on the fire, and therefore it's problematic because of that Chazara. And therefore it's not enough simply that it be Grufan Tuma. You need something else to give a Heker. So that's not Mechshei Kim Mivashel. So that's one requirement, is that you have it in hand. Amar Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Tadai, Davad Gamei Du Avad. So this is different than the terminology is used. For instance, in Brochot we saw there, it was used that he did it for his own benefit. That was by Shimon ben Shetach when he's benching for the king and the queen. Over here, Avad Gamei, and there is a similar interpretation brought by some of the Rishonim in Gemara and Brochot as well, which is that he's a Dat Yochid in this manner. Elohochi Amar Rabbi Chia, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is the view, afilu in ikhu agabe karpo and mutar. Even if you put it down on the ground, it's mutar to do chazara. Pligi bar Rav Dimi, Rav Shmor bar Yehuda, v'tarvayu mishmeid Rabbi Elazar. They argue about this, and both of them in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, who's the Talmid chaver of Rabbi Yochanan. Chad amar, udan biyado mutar, agab karka asur. If it's still in your hand, you're allowed to put it back on the fire. If it's on the ground, it's not. Chad amar, nichan agabe karka, nami mutar, that if you put it down on the ground, it's still mutar. Amar Chizkiya Mishmei Devayi, Hada Amar Todan Biyado Mutar, that which we say when you're still holding it, you're allowed to put it back on the fire, Lo Amran Elisha Da Tolach Zir. That's only if you had in mind when you took it off the fire that you're going to put it back on the fire. Vayin Da Tolach Zir, Asur. If it doesn't have in mind to put it back on the fire, then it is Asur, Michlau. From this you wouldn't conclude, Al Gabi Akarka, if you put it down on the ground, Afu Bisha Da Tolach Zir, even if you intended to return it, Asur, it's not enough. Because there's a betelut, by placing it down on the ground, you undermine that which was done prior to this. And therefore, you cannot go then and put it back on the fire. Igad Amre, there's a kula version of this, which is, Amar Chizkiya Mishmei Devayi, Hadamar Togabe Karuka Asur, that's what you said that you put on the ground as a sur, Lo Amran Eloshein Da Tolach Zir. That's only if you didn't have in mind to return it. But the Tolach Zir Mutar, if you had in mind to return it, then it's Mutar, Michlau. From there you conclude, Shubadan Biyado, if you're in a hand, Afu Pishen Da Tolach Zir, even if you didn't have in mind to put it back, Mutar. So that would be mutar, and that'd be a cooler version of that. And even though it's a din derabbanan, since it's mechsei kemivashel, and it's very easily can come to an issur d'oraita, paskin lechumra would like the lishna kama. Although there are a slew of rishonim, including the Ritva and the Ran and many others that the Bar Halacha brings, that were mekel like the second lashon, and therefore, if there is a necessity, we can be mekel like that second lashon. The dat alochazir when you put it down on the ground. By Rabbi Irmiya, talan b'makel mahu. What happens if you don't put it on the ground, but you don't keep it in your hand? You hung it up on a pin or a peg. Or you put it on a bed. Mau, what's the din there? Is that considered to be alakarko? that's still considered to be biyado. If you move the waters from one urn to another urn, what's the din with regards to that? According to Rashi, is that like a new hatmana when you put it on the stovetop again? Or is it a continuation of the original hatmana? Because even though you change kelim, it's still the same water that you're putting back. Or according to the others, is there a problem? Because it's still the same hot water, it just happens to be a different utensil. In all those cases, we leave it as a teku. And then, therefore, the halacha, we say that you need all these tnaim, all these conditions in order to return it. When you do chazara on Shabbat, if you take it off of an item that is gufak tuma, it doesn't have any other heker associated with it, if you want to place it back on the fire, for instance, on Friday night, you take the soup off the fire, the chalent off the fire, you want to put it back afterwards, in order to qualify, you need all these items to be true. First of all, mevushal kol tzarcho, fully cooked, datolach zir, you have intended when you took it off to put it back. Number two is you hold it in your hand, you don't put it down on the ground, and many believe because of what we leave here as a teku, you can't even put it down on the counter, and it still has to be hot, it still has to be in a state where it is considered to be mivushal and it did not fully cool down. There are heterim, for instance, if the item is too heavy, like a cholent pot, and you can't hold it in your hand successfully and dish it out, that one can either lean it on something else at the same time. One should still keep it off the ground a little bit. If you can't even do that, one should keep their hand on it to indicate it's biyado, even though it's not physically being held out biyado, in order to qualify with all of these na'im that we mentioned over here. So the Ran and the Ramban have a huge chiddush over here based on the Yushami, which is that the Chazara that we're speaking about here means that if you took it off before Shabbat, and now you're trying after Shabbat, you're trying to put it back on Shabbat. And all of these Naim are, if you took it off before Shabbat, we only allow you to put it back on Shabbat if you held it in your hand all the way through, because then it looks like it's a continuation. It's not Mechzei Kamim Bashel, because it's like you're starting something on Shabbat. Whereas if you put it down on the ground, that already looks like you're starting a new bishul on Shabbat, because you took it off before Shabbat, and now you're putting on Shabbat. But if that's the case, then if you took it off on Shabbat itself, then you'd be mutar to return it on Shabbat itself, no matter what, even if you put it down on the ground, maybe with even without all of these na'im, which means that even if you put it in the refrigerator and it completely cooled down, you'd be able to put it right back on to the blech on Shabbat, because that's not the chazara that has all those requirements according to the Ran. And the Ran is a big kula, which the Rama quotes, and even though he quotes the halacha, he says tov lachmir, and therefore we don't use the Ran outright, but we use the Ran as a sniff to other kulot when it comes to allowing someone to do some chazara on Shabbat. Now the Mishnah comes up and discusses other types of cooking instruments. We spoke about a kira, which was a stovetop in the previous Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says tanur, which is an oven, shisiku bekash ubigavava. That one used straw or stubble. Lo yitain ben bidoko ben mi'al gabab. You can't place something inside of it or on top of it. Meaning that the heat level, as Rashi notes over here, is so great that there is no heter to cook in such an item, even if it's garuf vikatum. In Ikash and Gavava, as we saw in the previous Mishnah, either they don't make coals or they don't create a sufficiently hot atmosphere in a kira, and therefore you don't need to have garuf vikatum by Kash and Gavava. Here by Tanur, even Kash and Gavava are problematic. Kopach, now kopach, as the Gemara is going to note, is something that sits between a kira and a tanur. Shisikua bikashu begavala. You fired it up with these materials. Harizeki kiraim, that has a din like a kiraim, like a stovetop. Begevet beitzim, if you use the better fuels that either create coals or are mosif hevel according to Rashi, harehu kitanur, then it has a din of a tanur, so it sits in between. And as Rashi describes over here, and the Gemara will say this later, that a tanur is a pyramidic structure that traps the heat inside, and you can put the item either sits directly on the coals or on the fire inside, or you paste it to the wall when you're making bread. The kopach and the kira are stovetops, but the difference is that by a kira you have two areas where you can sit, pans or kettles on top, so it's a two-ring pot stove. The kopach is a one-pot stove, so it's much smaller than a kira, but the kopach is also shaped like a cube, and not rectangular like a kira, and therefore similar to a tanur, it preserves the heat much better and gets much hotter than a kira would get. Therefore, a kopach sits in between, and if you use the lighter fuels, like the kash and gavava, it has a din like kiraim. If you use the better fuels, then it has a din like a tanur, and it would be problematic. And as Tosfot points out over here, this Mishnah is going to follow the same structure as the previous Mishnah. That means that if you think the previous Mishnah is talking about chazara, also here we're talking about chazara, which means that by shihiya, leaving something in an oven, even if it's not gufak tuma, going into Shabbat would be perfectly fine as long as it's cooked to machal ben drusai, the view of the Balei Tosfot, and he makes no distinction between an oven and a stove, because in the first parak we made no such distinction. The first parak was speaking about an oven, a tanur. Over there it says you have raw meat in it, we let you leave it going into Shabbat as long as it's cooked, either kemachal ben dusai, or it's totally raw. And that's a case where it's enu garuf v'katum. Mar says, tanur shesikua, a tanur that was fired up. Sever Yosef Emar, tocho mamash. When the Mishnah says you can't put something inside of it, it means literally inside it. Agavav means agavav mamash, literally on top of it. Well, the smoke, to put something near it, shapir dami, to put something adjacent to it and heat it up in that manner would be fine. Eid ve'abaye, Abaye says, is that really true? Kopach shisikua bikashu begabava. Our mission says that if you take the single stove and you heat it up with the lighter fuels, hariyu kikiraim, it has a din of kiraim. Begefet de beitzim, if you use the heavier or the better fuels, hariyu kitanur, it has a din like tanur and masur. Ha, kikira, shari. If you did a similar thing by a kira, it would be mutar. So, because the only problem is that it's a kopach, it's not a kira. So then, by kira, this would be permissible. But my eskina, what's exactly the scenario? Ilema gabav, if you're talking about on top of it, ubemai, ilema shenu garuf katum, that you didn't clear out the coals, and you didn't put ashes on the coals, ela kira, ki ena grufak tuma, gabav mishari. In a case where you have a kira that's not grufak tuma, and you put something on top, who says that's mutar? There you have a problem. Shema yechate b'gechalim, you're gonna stoke the fire, we don't let you do that. Allowably smoke. Must be a scenario where you're putting it adjacent to the kira, and it's not grufa and ketuma, and over there it's mutar by a kira, but it's still a sur by a kopach and by a tanur. Very tani, are you ketanur vasur? That a kopach is like a tanur and a sur, even though it's li smoke. Amar avad rava, haka be kopach, garufa katum. Who says that it has to be a case where you didn't clear out the coals, or you didn't put ashes on the coals? Maybe it's a case here where it was cleared out. And the Mishnah is also speaking about a tanur grufak tuma, which is a big chiddush now, and which is the halacha, that by tanur, even if it's grufak tuma, it's so hot that we don't let you leave things in it going into Shabbat. Regarding the Rashi, it's a problem of Mosi Pevel that we saw earlier. The Rambam says that because the heat is so great, even after grufak tuma, or even after use gash and kavavah, where there's not much left, there's only a small fire, you would still not be mesiach dato mimenu, and you would still go and stoke it, because any little bit of fire has such a disproportionate impact on the heating of the oven, that you might come to do it, and therefore it's still a problem with shema yechate begechalim, even in a case of gufak tumah. Because the Ran, in the beginning of the Perek, says that it's a problem of mechzeh gimevashel, since it's so hot, it looks like there are coals in there, and therefore people will come to allow coals in situations like the kira, because they think the tanur really has coals in it, given how hot it is. And depending on the reason, will also have impact on whether you think that grufak tuma will help over here. That's generally what we paskin, which is that by an oven, even if it's grufak tuma, we still don't allow it to be used on Shabbat, even though there might be room if it's kash and gavava and it's grufak tuma, Tarvi Shonim will think by an oven, tanur, that that would be okay. Harehu ketanur, and therefore it has the din of tanur. The afagab the garuf katum al gabav asur, that even though it's garuf katum, on top of it is problematic. The ikikira, if it was similar to a kira, ki grufak tuma shaper dami. Had you put it on top, it would have been fine, because it's grufa and katuma. It's grufak tuma, then by a kira, we allow you to put it on top. And also by a kopach, we restrict it just like a tanur, despite the fact that it's grufa uketuma. And that's because of the heat levels are just too high, and therefore it seems either like, according to Rashi, Mosif Hevel, and it's a problem of Atmana, or the others, then we still worry about Shema Yechate Bechalim, even though technically there are no Gechalim over here, and therefore the smoke next to a tanur would be perfectly permissible in this case. As Tosfos points out, that this Ilema is not really, if you want to say, it's the only way that Abaye can explain the Mishnah, because otherwise, if he could explain it that it was Grufan Ketuma, then he would explain it like the Gemara does over here by Rav Adar Bahava. The fact that he doesn't explain it that way means that he's compelled to do that, and that's because he believes that if it was Grufak Tuma, you can't make a distinction between Kash and Gavava and Gefet and Eitzim. That distinction only applies when the fuels are still there, when the items are still there. If it's already Grufa, why should there be any distinction? And Rav Adar Bahava obviously disagrees and says that the intensity of the heat is still differentiated even after Grufa and Ketuma. Now the Gemara continues, Tana Kavate de Abaye, we have a bright that supports Abaye's position. Tanur Shisiku Bekash Begavava Ein Somchim Lo. A oven that was fired up with these lower quality fuels, you can't put something next to it. Vein Tzarech Lomar Al Gavav. And certainly you can't put something on top of it. Vein Tzarech Lomar Betocho. And obviously you can't put something into it. Vein Tzarech Lomar, and certainly by the case of Gefet Ubeitzim, when you have the higher quality fuels, certainly all of these things are restricted. And you see, like Abaye, that there's a problem of putting something adjacent to an oven when it has any of these items in it, when it's not gufa and ketuma. Kopach, shisikul bekash gava. On the other hand, a single place stove that was heated up with these lower quality fuels, somchim lo, one can't put something adjacent to it. The girsa that we have over here is ve'ein notnim al gabav, whereas the gra changes it to make more sense, which to say is somchim lo ve'notnim al gabav, that you can place it on top. Because that's similar to our Mishnah. Otherwise, this would be in conflict with our Mishnah. Or the other possibility is a girsa that the Tosfot bring, which is that instead of saying Bekashu Gavava, it says Begevet Beitzim, and then it would say Ein Somchim Lo, and Ein Notnim Alav. And that way, it also be consistent with our Mishnah, and like what Abaye is looking for. Begevet Beitzim, if you use the higher quality fuels, Ein Somchim Lo, then you can't put it adjacent, and certainly you can't put it on top or inside of it. Amalei, so there you have a braita that is supportive of a Abaye's contention over here, that putting something next to it is similar to putting it on top or inside of it. And therefore, the din of the tanur is exactly the same by smicha as it is al gabav. And same thing with regards to the kopach. Amalei ravacha braid the rav of the ravashi, I kopach echidami. What exactly is this kopach that we've been discussing in the Mishnah? Iki kira dami, if it has a din like a kira, I feel it begefet of etzim nami. Even if you use the better quality fuels, you still be mutar to do shia or chazarah, depending on what you think the Mishnah is speaking about. Ike tanur dami, if it's like an oven, I feel bekash begavava. Even if you use the lower quality fuels, nami lo, it should still be problematic. Amalei, nofish avlei midakira, it's hotter than a two-place stove. Zutar avlei mitanur, but so it's lower heat intensity than a tanur. A tanur is shaped like a pyramid, therefore it traps the heat inside of it much better, and therefore it's much hotter. This is cubic, and therefore it allows the heat to expand more, and has a hole in the top, which allows the heat to escape, even though if you have a pot on it, so therefore it cools off a little bit. But it's not like a kira, which is much wider and has two spots where the heat can escape on top, and therefore it is hotter than a kira, but yet cooler than a tanur. Hechidami kopach. What exactly is this kopach, hechidami kira, and what is a kira? What's the distinction between them? Yosef Rechanina, kopach makom shvitat kder achat. Kopach only has place for one pot to be put on top of it, one stovetop. Kira makom shvitat steak derot. Whereas a kira has a stovetop that allows for replacement of two pots on it. Amar Abaye v'itemei Rabbi Yirmiyahu afanan nami tanina. We have that in a Mishnah in Kelim that gives a similar picture of what a kopach and a kira are. Because kira shenechtel kal orka tohura. If you cut a kira down its lengthwise, then it's tohura because it's no longer usable. Because you cut both areas where the stove sat, the circle sat on top, have been sliced in half, and therefore if you did it along the lengthwise, it is tahor because you ruined the kli. But luachbat meyah, if you cut it in half between the two circles that are the stove tops over there, then that would be meyah because they could still function each one individually as a kopach if you put it up against the wall, the open side or the open wall, and then you have two kopachs, and therefore it's not mevutal from being a kli. Kopach ben orka ben luachbat tahor. Whereas by a kopach, since it is a cube, a square, no matter which way you cut it, whether you cut it lengthwise or widthwise, both of those will ruin the kopach, and you will not be able to put any more pot on it, and it lost its function, therefore it's tahor from being a kli. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Chet Amud Bet.